Funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology Talkbacks are produced by Charlie Mitchell. This program is made possible by the efforts of hardworking teachers and students throughout the state, and we are grateful for them. We begin this morning with a special contribution from Michelle Martin's class at Prairie Creek Community School in Northfield. Michelle wrote, "The Herons wrote a poem yesterday for Earth Day, and we wanted to share it with you. Each child wrote a line that we then crafted together and read. They are very proud of it. And here's their poem entitled, Remember How Much the Earth Holds."
The world is covered in life. You just have to look.
Nature brings back memories. A rolling sea, a living thing in the middle of nothing.
In an infinite galaxy.
The birds flutter in the wind, swooping and diving along the way.
A deer hopping around.
Trees growing their leaves.
The eagle soaring in the sky.
Snow melting, flowers blooming.
The rain falling.
The birds on the trees.
The green grass.
The bright green grass.
The wind blowing, looking for the first flower of spring.
Hearing the sound of your breath.
My thoughts are lost in nature.
So little that seed, but so much not known.
The clouds shifting in the skies, the water comes down to damp the earth.
The stream trickles, the brook flows, the river runs into the vast sea of life.
Remember how much the earth holds.
Unfolding again and again,
there is endless possibility.
My word. That is some pretty heavy writing for some fourth and fifth graders.
Wow.
These are amazing children.
Way to make us cry on a Tuesday morning.
I highlighted a couple of lines that I thought were especially moving. The wind blowing, looking for the first flower of spring. What an image.
Mm-hmm.
And there is little not seen, but so much not known. And that is another good line.
I might want to listen to that every morning. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Yes. And thank you to the kids at Prairie Creek Community School in Northfield. And not only did they send us that lovely poem, but they sent us along their phenology report as well. So here is our first phenology report coming from Michelle Martin's class at Prairie Creek Community School in Northfield.
Hi, this is Ellen.
And this is Amelie, and we're from Prairie Creek Community School, way down south in Northfield, Minnesota.
Wow, thanks to the rain, everything is greening up.
There have been lots of flowers blooming, including lady slippers, bloodroot, and wild ginger.
The maple tree we watch has leafed out.
The white oak is flowering, and the apple trees have leafed out too.
The birch is dropping pollen, and the Siberian elm has seeds. Yum.
We've seen several herons, and Oscar saw one with fish in its beak.
Ruby is hearing woodpeckers in the morning.
Andrew saw four goslings.
Silas reports that the rams are up.
He also saw two woodchucks.
I saw a scarlet tanager and a male ring-neck pheasant.
We are still seeing a couple of juncos.
But we haven't seen any hummingbirds or toads yet.
This has been Prairie Creek.
One more step along the phenology journey.
Nice. Thank you so much. Not only was the poem pretty good, but man, oh man, they are looking at all kinds of things. Imagine the bloodroot are still blooming down there. I looked yesterday, there are flower buds, but they have not yet opened. Wild ginger is in bloom down there. Maple trees have leafed out. Our maple trees are just getting done flowering. Birch is dropping pollen. Goslings, but you know, when you think about it, they get back about the middle of March, and so by the end of April, they should have young. Ramps are up. Yeah, I got a note from our good friend Craig Bowron, showed a picture of the ramps in his land down in the southeast corner of the state, and it is covered in ramps. Scarlet tanager, how thrilling, and those are going to be along before too long. Still some juncos in the area. I still have a few juncos at my house. Hummingbirds and toads not there yet. We'll keep an eye out, and so will they. And once they arrive, we will let you know. Our next report comes from the Phenology Club at Oak Grove Elementary School in Bloomington.
Hi, this is
Dixie,
Camila,
and DeAngeli reporting from Oak Grove Elementary in Bloomington, Minnesota.
We are having wonky weather. The temperature is going up and down with rain on and off.
This week we did a big garbage cleanup around our school and forest. We found 9 bottle caps, a spoon, earbuds, lots of gloves, and paper.
We did it to take care of the environment for Earth Day and prepare for our guests next week. We are getting goats for a day.
That's all for today. Stay tuned for the next OGE Phenology Club Nature episode.
Keep the earth clean.
Every day is Earth Day. Bye!
Every day is Earth Day. Yeah, thank you, Dixie, Kamala, and DeAngeli. What a nice report, and what a nice thing to do, to go out and to pick up trash. We actually, my little school groups have been doing the same thing over the last couple of weeks, just gathering some of the garbage that we find along the way and cleaning up our little patch of the earth. And I suggest that maybe you want to go out and do a little bit of that yourself. Our next report comes from Natalie Peterson's class at Justice Page Middle School in Minneapolis. And this is a new report. These are new students to our airwaves. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, our names are Elsa,
Georgia,
and Aspen.
We are from Justice Page Middle School, reporting from Miss Natalie's class in Minneapolis. This week, students at our school have noticed more flowers, such as tulips and squill,
more birds like loons, ducks, and cardinals,
more bugs and worms, and bright, vibrant colors to welcome spring.
Thank you so much for your report. We look forward to hearing more from you at Justice Page Middle School. That was Elsa, Georgia, and Aspen. And their notes included tulips and squill and ducks and cardinals. And they're going to be looking for more. And we'll be excited to hear from them when they come along with their new notes. Our next report comes from Justin Steffen's class at Linwood Elementary School in Wyoming. And this is another new report. I went down and talked to the kids down there and talked to Justin. And we got them on the page, and here they are with their first report from Linwood Elementary School, which is located near Wyoming, Minnesota.
Greetings from Mr. Steffen's fourth grade class in the Linwood School Forest. This is Kinley,
Grace,
and Silas
reporting on our observations from the week ending April 25th.
This week we observed the buds on a fallen red maple opened, and we saw pollen, which tells us it is a male tree. We wonder how can a tree which has fallen down still produce buds?
We also observed the buds on a box elder tree have opened. The colors are red, orange, and yellow, with little dark purple sacks.
Our cottonwood tree has also budded with huge fuzzy buds that look like a cluster of grapes.
Out in the forest this week, we observed a gardener snake, and we found many salamanders. Someone from our class saw a little white moth.
That is all from the Linwood School Forest. And remember,
there's no place like Linwood.
Indeed, there is no place like Linwood. Kinsey, Grace, and Silas, thank you. What a nice report. The maple flowers on, and I remember well this fallen maple. I didn't go look at the root system, but the tree had blown down. I don't remember if it had snapped off or uprooted. But what happens in something like that is there's a lot of energy in the tree itself. There's a lot of growth potential that exists within the limbs and the trunk of a tree. And so even though it might be severed from its roots, it will at least get this much done. And I hope that they continue to watch that maple and see whether or not it is still connected to the ground. If it was uprooted, it's possible that some of the roots are still connected, and it may go on living throughout the summer. We will find out. And The box elder buds are open. That's really good. The colors, I love they went through and looked at all the different colors. Those are probably, for the most part, part of that is the leaf. But in the box elder, you get flowers and leaves together. The flowers begin to open up and the leaves begin to open up and underneath are the flowers. And they proceed apace as a unit, which is a little different than the other maples. The red maples and the silver maples all flower first and then leaf out. And the sugar maples leaf out and flower at the same time, much like the box elder. Garter snake and salamanders, boy, they're having a good time. I would love to see a salamander. It's been a while. I would like to get out and see a couple of salamanders. And I've had a few others report salamanders around the area as well. Our next report comes from Chad Caddett's class at Little Falls Middle School.
This is Bjorn and Rowan reporting from Little Falls Middle School. This is our phenology report for the week of April 27th.
We have seen large groups of white pelicans and turkey vultures soaring overhead.
Yellow-rumped warblers have returned, along with both ruby and golden-crowned kinglets. We have also spotted a pine warbler this weekend.
There was a sighting of a dragonfly. It appeared to be a darner, but was very pale in color compared to the common green darners we have seen in the past.
Hepatica are still blooming in the woods and have been joined by bloodroot and wood anemone. There are also wild leeks popping up in the forest.
A classmate found a woolly bear caterpillar that has emerged from hibernation, and there are small moths and butterflies in the woods.
Chipping sparrows have arrived in Little Falls, along with the white-throated, song, and swamp sparrows.
After a recent rain, we noticed the roads were stained red with pollen and flowers of nearby trees. We are assuming they were maples.
Wasps are starting to appear, along with bumblebees and midges.
There was a beautiful male bufflehead on a pond near our school, and the Canada geese are singing on their nests.
Tree swallows are swooping over our ponds in search of insects.
We have a killdeer that has formed a nest in the rocks on the flat roof outside of Miss Wasp's room. We are curious on how young chicks will get down.
We are seeing all different types of woodpeckers, from pileated, red-bellied, and downy, to the yellow-bellied sapsuckers and northern flickers that have just arrived.
Surprisingly, the pine siskins and juncos are still around.
A classmate saw a brown thrasher rooting around on the ground for food.
That's our report for this week. Until next week, keep exploring, keep discovering, and keep connecting with great outdoors.
Thank you, Bjorn, Rowan. What a nice report. Those kids are really looking after it. Tree swallows, killdeer. It's nice that the killdeer has a nest on the rocks on the roof. You know, years ago when I was starting at Cohasset Elementary School in the old school, there was the library was upstairs, and as you came down from the library, there was a roof that laid out in front of you, and the killdeer nested in there at one time or another. And you know, I don't know how they get down from the roof. Whether they shinny down the drain spouts, or if they just do like the wood ducks and step off over the edge and hope that they land on something soft. I'm not sure how they do that. But brown thrasher, we'll be watching for those. They show up outside our studios here when they're around. Pine siskins, juncos still hanging out there. They also had, the usual crowd of woodpeckers. We've had the same. The yellow-bellied sapsuckers and the flickers are here as well. Let's see, what else did they have on their list? There was a number of things that I looked at. Oh, the chipping sparrows, white-throated and song, and swamp sparrows. So I've seen white-throated and song sparrows. Probably the swamp sparrows are here, but I haven't gone down to the swamp to look because I kind of have to sneak by the eagle's nest this time of year to get down to the edge of the lake, so it's a little bit tough for me to make that trip. But they were also seeing bloodroot, wood anemone. We are a ways away from wood anemone up here. I have not even seen the plants begin to come up above the ground. But nice report. Boy, there's lots of good things happening. You can see that spring is definitely moving north across the state, and these students help bring it all together for us. Our next report is coming from Nate Masakovich's fourth graders at Baxter Elementary School in Brainerd.
Hello from Mr. Masakovich's class at Baxter Elementary School. This is the phenology report for the week of April 28th. Our names are
Tucker, Elsie,
and Dewey, and we are your phenologists for this week.
We had big storms with thunder and lightning on the 28th. We really needed the rain.
Our hazel catkins are done producing pollen. When we flipped them, they had also leafed out. We had a bud break on Wednesday on 4/22. Our catkins from all the small tooth aspens are beginning to fall in number. We've not seen a bud break yet. We spotted our first dandelions on April 26, which is 3 weeks later than usual. Our black cherry tree has also leafed out. Our female maples are starting to drop their flowers. Mr. Latimer showed us Pennsylvania sedge flower. They are not blooming yet. We had apparently waiting for more green.
The European gooseberry planted in our school's garden have leafed out.
The search for our porcupine continues. He keeps eating and we keep looking. We also notice lots of squirrels playing tag. Wink, wink.
Our first blue and green darters were seen on 4/24, and our first morning club butterfly was on 4/22. That is kind of late for us, so they were probably around, but we just didn't see them. We've noticed lots of gnats, beetles, and spiders emerging. Our spring peepers have emerged on 4/27. They are not out in force yet. We spotted our first painted turtle on 4/20.
We continue to see new birds. Our first goslings were reported by Presley on 4/15. Our first oriole on 4/20. Our first eastern phoebe and yellow-rumped warblers on 4/21. A scarlet tanager was spotted on Sunday, along with a possible cliff sparrow.
This concludes the phenology report. Have a great week and be observant.
Nice report, kids. That was a great effort. I just love the stuff that you are finding out there. So many interesting things coming your way. The catkins on the trembling aspens are beginning to fall. First dandelions on the 26th, and black cherry had leafed out. Female maples, the male maples are starting to drop their flowers. Pennsylvania sedge, we found those in flower. The squirrels playing tag, wink, wink. Yeah, that's they are definitely chasing one another around. Blue and green darners, morning cloak butterflies, spring peepers. This one note, our first oriole on 4/20, I suspect that that might have been a different bird. Typically, the orioles come back in early May, along about the time that the hummingbirds come back. So it's in Grand Rapids, it's usually around the 7th to the 10th of May that we see our first orioles and hummingbirds. It's easy to make that mistake. My daughter was at my house over the weekend, and a bird showed up at the bird feeder, and she said, "Oh, there's an oriole," and I had to correct her. It was not. But so I'm not sure what you might have seen, but I think that it was misidentified. Orioles, I would be really surprised if there were an oriole in the area this early. That would be about 3 weeks ahead, and they are pretty regular. They must come back based on day length, because I don't have a wide range. It's within a week usually when I see the orioles. So otherwise, great observations. Cliff swallows, scarlet tanagers. The kids down in Northfield had seen scarlet tanagers too, so great reports. Our next report comes from the Long Lake Conservation Center near Palisade.
Hi, this is Addison,
Lily,
and Logan from Sand Creek Elementary in Minneapolis. During a trip to Long Lake Conservation Center on April 23rd through the 25th, we had a high temperature of 60 degrees Fahrenheit and a low of 32. Our trip was filled with the first of the year sightings. Team Blue saw his first 3 dragonflies of the season. We didn't get a great look at them, but we think that they're probably common green darners.
Team Yellow saw the first mosquito. Hopefully the dragonflies found it and ate it. Unfortunately, we also had the first woodtick of the season. Team Red saw beaver, flowers, and turkey vultures. All groups heard the constant drumming of ruffed grouse. Seeing a beaver was noteworthy because Long Lake staff told us that beaver sightings were rare last year. The tamarack tree buds were turning green in the bog. A chaperone heard turkeys, and Team Green saw what they think was a woolly bear caterpillar. We saw a lot of different birds, including the osprey flying over the lake. In the lake, we saw trumpeter swans, Canada geese, a pair of common loons, hooded mergansers, mallards and wood ducks, and even a turtle. We are still seeing lots of juncos. The birds and frogs filled campus with their beautiful songs. Nature is bursting with life, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside,
and live connected.
Thank you, Addison, Lily, and Logan from Sand Creek Elementary. Great observations. Dragonflies, probably the common green darners. Those are the ones that come by migration. First mosquito. I like the way they hoped that the dragonflies and the mosquitoes would meet and one would have dinner from the other. Wood ticks, yeah, they are out and plentiful. Ospreys, hooded mergansers, juncos, yeah, very nice report. Thank you so much. Our next report comes from Sarah Wilson's class at Heartland Lakes Community School in Park Rapids. And this is another new school for our reporting from the area. So welcome and thank you for your report.
Hey guys, Jacob here.
This is Mari.
This is Bria.
And Hunter, we are reporting from Heartland Lakes Community School in Park Rapids.
Today is Tuesday, April 22nd.
Yesterday was 65 degrees Fahrenheit. It felt hot.
Today it is raining, but it feels warm.
We saw trees with catkins and buds.
We heard our first frog calls.
We saw a black and white duck that looks kind of like a loon.
And pepper.
We wondered what kind it was.
Eagles were flying over Potato Lake.
Beavers and otters are active in Two Inlets Lake.
Sarah saw a bobcat cross the road.
This is Mari.
Jacob.
Bria.
And Hunter reporting from Heartland Lakes.
Bye.
Bye.
Heartland Lakes, it's over by Park Rapids. Thank you for that great report, Mari, Jacob, Bria, and Hunter. Nice job. Felt like 65 degrees. Felt hot. Yeah, I would think so. First frog calls. Black and white duck that looks kind of like a loon. Couple of ducks came to mind. The common golden eye is dark with a sort of a gray body and a white patch on its cheek. The other duck that could look a bit like a loon would be the ringneck duck. It has a blue beak, so it would be kind of distinctive that way. But if you weren't very close to it, it's also sort of a white and dark, loon-like in its color. So can't say for sure, but check out the picture of the golden eye or the ringneck duck, and either one of those might have been what you saw. Our next report comes from Lee Jackson and Darcy Rolfe's classes at the North Shore Community School near Duluth.
Hello from the North Shore Community School on the North Shore of Lake Superior. This is the phonology report for the week of April 19, 2025. My name is Naomi and I'm the phonologist for this week. On the morning of Monday, April 21st, we got 1 to 2 inches of snow. It was falling in huge flakes, but it quickly melted. On Wednesday, April 23rd, Estelle noticed that she still had small mounds of snow in her yard that has yet to melt. On Monday, April 21st, Sam and Lane Dover saw hundreds of pelicans at Chambers Golf Park. Also on Monday, Miss Urban heard a kingfisher at her house. On Tuesday, April 22nd, Miss Young's class saw an eastern phoebe in the school forest. Also on Tuesday, Miss Rademacher's class, Miss Young's class, and Miss Pearson Evans saw a killdeer flying around the big kids' playground. On Wednesday, April 23rd, Elia saw a brown creeper in the school forest. Miss Urban saw another one later that afternoon. On Thursday, April 24th, Miss Urban heard an eastern phoebe singing in her yard as she was eating breakfast. On Wednesday, April 23rd, Miss Lampel's class with some students from Miss Lansbury's class noticed a snowshoe hare hopping along the school forest. The hare stopped and ate where the students could watch it, and they noticed that the hare had was mostly brown but had some white on its ears, feet, and the tip of its nose. On Friday, April 25th, Lorelai spotted a red fox as she was riding the bus to school. On Wednesday, April 23rd, Miss Urban had a housefly land on her in the school forest. Also on Wednesday, Miss Law found a wood tick on her dog. On Wednesday, April 23rd, it was decided that a sap collection was done for the season. The trees are beginning to bud. Miss Urban had noticed the buds swelling, and on Wednesday, she noticed a red maple with buds that are open. Once the buds begin to burst, the sap no longer tastes good, and it's time to pull the taps. Also on this day, Shayla noticed green grass at her house. This concludes the phonology report. Have a great week and be observant.
Thank you, Naomi. Nice report. You kids in Duluth, you really get it. You've got a great set of teachers there, and they keep you on task. Not only that, but everybody in the school contributes, which is really nice. You got different teachers and different students from across the grades finding things to look at, and that is so wonderful. And thanks for that good information about maple sap gathering. I appreciate that you have learned and now have shared with the people out there about how when the buds begin to break open on the maples, it's time to pull the taps. And our next report comes from Colin Cody's third grade class at East Rapids Elementary School in Grand Rapids.
Hello, my name is Tyler. This is our phonology report for Mr. Cody's third grade classroom at East Rapids Elementary. Tuesday, April 15th started cold, windy, and gloomy. By our 2 p.m. walk, the sun was peeking out. We started by noticing buds getting fuzzy and orange. We then saw the silver maple in full male and female and break. There were willows with nearly open flowers. All other trees had no change. As usual, we saw deer tracks, rabbit scat, and some bouncy chickadees. Lastly, we found a dead robin, sadly. Mr. L explained a lot about the beautiful creature. All for now, Tyler.
Yeah, thank you, Tyler. Good job. The kids there at East, we're closely monitoring the red maple, which has just begun to bloom last Tuesday, and the silver maple, which had gotten to the end of its bloom, and we were beginning to find a few of the male flowers on the ground underneath the silver maple. But trust me, we will, I'm sure, find a lot more today.
I like the note about the bouncy chickadees.
Yes, wasn't that a nice piece? I take no responsibility there, but the teacher there is really good at kind of directing the kids and getting them to, you know, expand their observation. Not their observations, they're good observers, but using words that sort of carry, like the bouncy chickadee, you know, that was a little, the teacher is largely responsible for that sort of good writing, and I appreciate it, and I think our listeners do too.
Hey, John, I last week was telling some folks about some of the classic t-shirts we've had at KEXE in the past. You're sporting a lovely dragonfly one.
I wore a fall one today. I don't know why. I could have easily picked one from spring, but yeah.
It's got dragonflies. This is the phonology show, but we, back in the day, we had a fundraiser that was about birds, and mm-hmm. people had to vote on their favorite bird, and the chickadee got chosen. And then we had a quote on the back. Do you remember this from Laura Erickson? It said, small, independent, intelligent, community spirited, and friendly. That's the chickadee, and that's KEXE.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah.
And that is the chickadee, and that is KEXE. Our next report comes from Nate Lindner's class at Cohasset Elementary School.
Hello, I'm Taylor and Olivia. We are in Mr. Lindner's fifth grade science classroom at Cohasset Elementary School. We have made a lot of observations over the past week. We are keeping track of the average daily temperature to see if we see ice out when it totals 220 degrees. Right now, we are at 240 degrees, and we noticed the ice on Jay Gold and Little Jay Gold and Crystal Lake. Many smaller lakes have ice out. We have noticed that Pokagama, Bass, and Deer Lake are really close to ice out, if not ice out. We have gained over 3 hours of daylight since the winter solstice, and we are still gaining about 3 minutes of sunlight each day.
We are seeing bud break on the pussy willows, May flowers on the silver maple, and aspens are really close to flowering or they are in flower. And it was really tough to tell. We also have green grass starting to grow in areas other than close to the building. We counted 47 dandelions near the school building, and our tulips are getting bigger. Mr. Latimer also spotted his first tree swallow flying on our nature walk.
Thank you for listening to our phenology report. We are looking forward to another week of observations. Like Mr. Latimer always says, onward and awkward.
He does say that from time to time. Yes. And we have some really good observations. The willows, the male flowers, we saw a lot of female flowers and got a good close look up at the female flowers on the pussy willows. Our black willow is breaking leaf bud, a little bit different, you know. Some willows flower first and then leaf out, and some leaf out and flower in reverse order. So we've been watching that, and the dandelions were doing really well. We found wood sorrel and gave the kids a little taste of the sour leaf of the wood sorrel, but we didn't want to destroy the entire patch, so I kind of had to hold them in check there. But yeah, lots of fun observations there in Cohasset. Thank you so much, Taylor and Olivia.
Yeah. For folks that don't know, you go there almost every week to these schools?
I do. Every week, yeah. I go to Cohasset, and then I go over to, I do a session at St. Joseph's, sixth grade, and then I go over to East and do a couple of third grade classes. So altogether, I do like six classes. Nice. In the area over 2 days, and it's very rewarding for me. It's kind of like being a grandpa to, what would that be, 6 times 30 is 180 little kids. So yeah, it's a pretty it's daunting at times, but it is always enjoyable. There's so much going on.
I am so jealous of a bunch of elementary school kids.
Yeah, you get to tag along today.
I do.
So how do kids respond to John? I mean, I know the answer to that, yeah. Even though I haven't been there in those classrooms.
Pretty darn enthusiastic.
And they're mostly scared. They run and hide.
Sure, John. What I particularly love is when you get the chance to, you know, completely horrify a class of elementary school kids by eating an ant or, you know.
I did eat an ant the other day, and the kids were kind of like, oh, my God, you ate that? And I said, yes. And they said, then they all want to know, can I eat one? And I said, well, you know what? That one really didn't taste that good. And it didn't. It was kind of blah. It was not.
They're supposed to taste kind of like sour.
If you eat the right one, yeah.
It tastes those, like what? Sour?
Sour, like a sour candy kind of?
Those
the formic acid.
You know the ant mounds, those big piles of dirt? Those red and black ants on those mounds, they taste really sour. Mm. Like putting a lemon drop in your mouth.
Mm.
But they bite back. So you've got to, you know, well, they're going to bite first. They're going to get your tongue or your cheek, one or the other. But it's not painful. It's just a pinch. And then you crunch them.
So you put it in your mouth, it bites you, and then you eat it. Is that what I'm hearing?
It bites me, and I bite them, and then it's over. Once I bite them, it's kind of like time out.
It's kind of like citric acid, but in this case, the ants, it's formic acid.
Formic acid, yep. It's an acid, so it's sour.
Sour taste.
Yeah.
But it is wonderful watching, you know, 20 elementary school kids.
I don't know, you know, I guess the first time I saw it done, I was like, oh my, that looks interesting. I'll try that. And so I did. And I was like, oh, these are pretty good. I mean, pretty good in the sense that it's a nice dose of sour, but I never eat more than one from an anthill. You know, it's like, you don't want to wipe out the colony. I'm not eating them like the bear eats them.
Yep.
But I understand why the bear would eat them.
I learned a great vocabulary word that means ant eating.
Oh.
I'm going to have to look it up again.
Myrmophagus? Myrmophagus, maybe.
Yeah.
Because phage means to eat.
It's not myrmophagus, because that would be.
Yeah, no.
I'll have to look, yep.
Yeah.
Myrmophagus sounds right.
Myrmecology is the study of ants. We are dozed off. No, we're still working our way through our 16 phenology reports 16. That came in this week, which is astonishing and really a testimony to your hard work, Charlie.
And you visiting all these schools?
Well, you know, I'm just doing what makes me happy and seems to be making other people happy too.
One of my favorite John Latimer quotes is, "I'm just a guy who likes nature." And that's paid off.
And it has, yeah. And one of my favorite quotes comes from Mary Oliver, a very wonderful poet. And she says, "To pay attention, this is our endless and proper work." And I have been trying to pay attention. Sometimes I drift, but, you know, I'm always drawn back. There's always something that catches my eye and makes me go, oh, look at that.
Yep. Yeah. It's a curiosity hydro. You find one answer and then three more questions pop up in its place.
Indeed.
Yep.
And Charlie, you and I were talking yesterday about that word curiosity. That's the whole thing of phenology, you know, is you don't have to be an expert. Just need to be a little bit curious and ask why, you know, ask if the birds show up on the radar with Tornado Bob, and, you know, just expand our minds every day. And the students help us do that day in and day out. We cannot beat hearing their voices here on the morning show.
Yeah.
Funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. They're produced by me, Charlie Mitchell. And they're thanks to the hard work of teachers and students across the state. We obviously couldn't do it without them, them getting outside and looking around.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Go meander and take a gander.
There you are. Our next report comes from Allison Ofterheide's class at Cherry School, which is near Iron Junction, Minnesota.
Hi, this is Clara,
Silas,
Harley,
Raven,
reporting from Cherry School in Iron Junction, Minnesota on April 23rd, 2025. We have been noticing that the weather is starting to clear up and the days have been getting longer. The bugs and animals are starting to come back from hibernation. On ponds and creeks, the ice is gone. On larger lakes, the ice is gone from the shore and large ice chunks are getting pushed around by the wind.
On April 20th, Clara noticed a loon and a muskrat on a lawn lake near Fail. On April 16th, Eliza heard a loud bird chirping when she woke up. On April 16th, Anna saw two golden eagles on Highway 27 eating a doe. On April 19th, Annalise saw a snowshoe hare that was half brown and half white with brown spots. It ran across the road really fast. It was long and had a bushy tail. On April 18th, Michael saw a deer go into his apple pen. It went on its back legs and ate an apple up high.
Today, during our walk in the school forest, we noticed some changes on the plants we are observing weekly on our bud burst project. On the American hazelnut, the catkins are starting to get longer and changing colors to yellow and green with a bit of red tips. We can see pollen on the catkins on the speckled alder. A couple of buds have been starting to burst. On the beaked hazelnut, many of the terminal buds are missing. It looks like a deer ate them. We also saw a white scrat full of fur on a stump. We think it might come from an animal that eats other animals. It could also be from a fox or a coyote. We saw red winged blackbirds around the cattail pond.
While walking on the trails in the school forest, we used an app to identify bird sounds. It identified some squawking we heard as a merlin. Shortly after, we saw it flying around ahead. The merlin was chasing two smaller birds through the forest. This concludes our phenology report. This has been Clara,
Silas,
Harley,
Raven,
reporting from Cherry School.
Nature rules!
Nature does indeed rule. And if you don't believe that, well, you'll find out one day. She makes the rules and she enforces them, and she cares not whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter to her. Lots of notes there that are worth checking out. Anna saw two golden eagles on Highway 27 eating on a deer. You know, there it's entirely possible. We do have a few golden eagles in the area, but our immature bald eagles look so much like golden eagles that it takes a really experienced eye. You have to see a lot of both before you can actually look at them and say, that's a golden eagle, that's an immature bald eagle. But just numbers-wise, there are probably 990 bald eagle juveniles for every 10 golden eagles that you're going to see. Now, if you're in Duluth at Hawk Ridge, golden eagles sneak by the end of Lake Superior and head up north. We seldom have golden eagles in this area during the hunting season, during their summer season. It's not really an area that they prefer. They like open country. They're more adapted to prairies and to open areas. They don't do well in heavy forests because they're birds that stoop on prey. Think of a rabbit and think about what your backyard looks like and think about being a 8-pound bird with a 6-foot wingspan and trying to fight your way through that brush to catch a rabbit. It's not going to be easy. But if you're out in the middle of a field and that you see that rabbit, it doesn't matter where that rabbit runs. If you're an eagle, a golden eagle, you're going to have pretty good whack at it. And so there, you know, I get a lot of reports of golden eagles. Few of them turn out to be actual golden eagles. Most of them are immature bald eagles. And believe me, I have seen birds that I thought maybe were golden eagles, but I've been disabused of that notion because they are so similar looking to the immature bald eagle. Snowshoe hares turning brown, half white. That's always fun this time of year. Like, I'm not sure. And of course, it snowed a little bit this morning. So, you know, the snowshoe hares are like, see, I told you, you're all brown, but you shouldn't be. There's still some white around. Yeah. The white scat full of fur on a stump. You know, the fact that it was on a stump, that's advertising. That's like, I'm just letting all you guys know that I'm here. And oftentimes I see a lot of white scat and you kind of wonder, wow, what's going on in there? But so it probably was a fox or a coyote. And I guess if you look at your hand and look at the diameter of your little finger and the diameter of your index finger, that's probably the fox is probably your little finger and your index finger is probably the coyote. So it's hard to say, yeah, unless you actually saw the animal sitting on that stump, leaving a mark, leaving a trail mark. It's really hard to say.
Aren't weasels also prominent poopers?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like to leave it out.
Right. Show it off. Speaking of weasels, I'm remiss, but I want to remind you, and Charlie, I'm going to assign you the task of getting
Pine Martin.
The Pine Martin. Jamie Harker, a friend of mine, sent me a video yesterday morning. Dr. Harker had the esteemed pleasure of watching a pine marten sneak into a wood duck box and steal eggs. The pine marten returned and took 5 eggs of the golden eye that was nesting in the wood duck box. So wood duck boxes are appealing to golden eyes, mergansers, and wood ducks. And in this case, it was a golden eye that was living in the box. And the pine marten showed up and took 5 of her eggs, and that video will be up on Season Watch later this morning, I hope.
Yep.
But before we get to that, we need to tell you that we also have another report coming from northeastern Minnesota. Our next report comes from Lindsay Engel's class at North Star Elementary School in Virginia.
This is Riot,
Clayton,
Emily,
Presley,
with a report from North Star Elementary on April 24, 2025. This is Riot. Errol and I have been seen
and hearing a yellow-bellied woodpecker in big maple trees by our houses when we walk to the bus stop in the morning. They sound like eagles.
This is Clayton. The young red maples on our playground at school just started flowering this week. We can see the yellow stamen on just a couple of the tree branches. The silver maples across the street from our school have a lot more flowers on them. I also saw a small fuzzy bee.
Right here again. I have seen a few mosquitoes when I go outside to practice pitching in the evenings.
This is Emily. I have noticed the apple trees in my yard are budding. The buds are still tightly closed.
This is Presley. The ice was completely off of Silver Lake in Virginia as of Wednesday, April 23rd. We have a lot of nights with low temperatures above freezing lately.
This has been a report from North Star Elementary in Virginia.
Keep exploring the great outdoors!
Thank you, Riot, Clayton, Emily, and Presley. What a nice report from you guys. I'm pleased seeing and hearing the yellow-bellied sapsuckers. They come back, they're migratory, and all of the local woodpeckers, the downy, hairy, red-bellied, and pileated, they've already established who's living where. They've set up their territories. In come these yellow-bellied sapsuckers, and they've got to bang out a territory for themselves. So they start rattling on trees this time of year, and you're going to hear a lot of them in the next few weeks. The young red maples in the schoolyard are just starting to flower. I'm glad the kids are watching. The silver maple across the street has a lot more flowers, and I'll bet you a dime that those flowers will be, if they're anything like the silver maple at my house, those male flowers are going to be falling off of those trees in huge numbers over the next couple of days, and I'd be interested to hear when that happens up there, because it started happening here on Sunday. And there were a few up until Sunday, but on Sunday I had to sweep the deck. And I'll have to sweep the deck again today if I get home in time to do it. Apple trees are budding. Ice is off of Silver Lake. Yeah, it's very nice. Nice report. Thank you so much for that. And our last report, is it? Nope.
Second
there's
to last.
A 16th one. Our next report is from Angie Nistler, and she sent us this email. I'm going to let you read this for us, Charlie.
Hello, John and Charlie. I have continued to enjoy the Tuesday morning phonology report and the student reports on my old 90s boombox in my classroom. Question. Our SNAP group has been observing the return of the osprey nest closest to the Bemidji Middle School forest, and the first day we saw a bird, we realized it was actually a goose. We saw a goose standing in it one year, but the osprey got to business with it. This past spring, we saw the goose two more times, only lying low up in the nest. Today, I took my scope and monocular to study further and continue to see the goose lying low up there as they look on a nest. Any thoughts on what could be happening? The newer osprey nest across the road, John saw it in the fall of 2023, has a lot of activity in it. I've seen the osprey most mornings this past week. Very curious about this. I could keep you posted. I decided to retire from full-time teaching after 35 years. I really appreciate being able to work with KAXE during my time with SNAP, and SNAP has increased in numbers each year.
Thank you, Angie. Angie has been a very strong worker and reporter for phenology, and she has her kids out looking all the time. And I feel bad for the Bemidji school because they're losing a pretty valuable resource right there. I hope somebody will step up and take her place. The goose on the osprey nest, I am absolutely floored. Now, the osprey obviously has moved over to another nest nearby and is tolerating this goose to be living on the old osprey nest. But when you think about it, what goose wants to nest like 30 feet in the air or 40 feet in the air? This is a big step for a little gosling. Like, just follow me and mom sets off on wing and flies down and lands in the pond below. And the little babies are like, but mom, we don't know how to fly yet. Take that big step. Oh, my.
Leap of faith.
Yeah. Wood ducks do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they survive the crash landing. And perhaps the same is true of goslings. Maybe they don't have enough mass to damage themselves when they hit. But I tell you what, I'd be the last one off the edge. Are you sure?
And I have good news for you. We do have, Angie mentioned that Ben Pope, who's been her assistant with the SNAP program for the last few years, will be taking over. So that will continue. And
good.
I think we just have time for our last.
We're going to sneak in our last report, which is from Emma Adams' class at Great Expectation School in Grand Marais.
Hi, this is Annabelle, Colin, and Mikey reporting from Great Expectation School. On April 24th, 2025, the weather has been warm and cold. It has been hard to know if we should wear rain pants or snow pants into recess. It changes every day. There is only a tiny bit of snow left in our backwoods. The ground is still frozen, and it has rained a couple minutes this week. Depending on where you live, sometimes it rains and sometimes it snows. It is warmer closer to the lake, to Lake Superior right now, so we have less snow than further away.
There has been lots of more birds seen around. We have been getting our first reports of sandhill cranes, robins, flinkers, and red-winged blackbirds this week. In the mornings, birds can now be heard singing when you wake up. The seagulls downtown are starting to become very loud. More geese and swans have also been reported.
The catkins of the green antler now had pollen last week, and some staff and students are having allergies again. This week, the pollen has been all blown away. One tree at Miss Emma's house started to leaf out, but all those leaves died after it got too cold and the buds haven't opened anymore. A wolf was seen at Miss Nikki's house. The rabbits are still mixed between white and brown. Edie's dog got a hold of some rabbits in her backyard. Bald eagles and deer have been reported daily to our phenology board. This has been Annabelle, Cullen, and Mikey reporting from Great Expectation School, where you can expect a great phenology report.
Thank you, Annabelle, Cullen, and Mikey. It was indeed a great phenology report. And that wraps up our student phenology for this week. Thank you for tuning in. We had a great morning and a great time with you, Charlie. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we will be back next week. And wow, if we get 16 more reports next week, we're really going to be up to our ears in phenology. But it's that way out there, so get out there and enjoy.